Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
It is Tuesday and a busy day. It's going to be the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia hanging out in the Oval Office today with the president. Things got a little feisty at times. And we are also watching in New Jersey. Several towns are now fighting back and suing the state over their affordable housing requirement. And when I say affordable housing, what I mean by that, of course, is high density housing. There's nothing affordable about it. I've told you this before. It's the entire thing is just designed to just put massive quantities of housing in municipalities. And this new bill would completely roll over the ability of a municipality to restrict anything vis-a-vis height, environmental, anything. And it's funny, too, because whenever you think about the regulations around housing, and we talk about the housing crisis in America, for lack of a better word, and they always say there's not enough inventory. And a big reason why there isn't enough inventory is because of environmental regulations that make building a house impossible. And here we have a situation where suddenly when it comes to affordable housing, they turn around and they say, oh, well, don't worry about it. You know, just go out there and build whatever you got to build. And that's crazy. And that's the kind of thing that makes people very frustrated because they say, I don't get it. You know, you said for a long time that we couldn't build this, we couldn't build that because of the environment. There might have been a bird or a mushroom, a mollusk, something like that. When it concerns affordable housing, suddenly all those things go right out the window and you just want to get shovels in the ground. And even if we have restrictions on height, where these things can be built, whatever, doesn't matter. So these towns are pushing back, and they're fighting back on this, and they're suing. And I say, good for them. It would have been a lot easier if Jack Chiarelli had won the election, because if Jack Chiarelli had won the election, he might have had a chance to appoint some Supreme Court justices who could have overturned the affordable housing rule that was handed down in the Mount Laurel decision many decades ago, but he didn't win. And Democrats, they love this idea because it changes the complexion of the municipality. And a big reason why the Democrats won, and a lot of people didn't see it coming, but North Jersey in particular, they've changed the makeup of these once red counties and towns, and these places are now blue, and they're blue because of the fact that they put in so much of this high-density housing. And so a lot of the makeup of the area, the content of the area, has changed. And people come in from the cities, and they move out to the burbs, and they leave the city for all kinds of reasons. And then they vote Democrat. And you take Morris County, New Jersey, is a great example of this. At one time, a solidly red county, suburban, rural parts of it. And then they started taking all those farmlands, and even when they were preserved farmlands, they just started building and building and building. And next thing you know, the demographics have changed completely, and now that county is a blue county. And so you turn around and you go, I don't understand. How does the Democrat get 400,000 more votes than Murphy did in 2021? Well, a number of reasons. I mean, certainly the enthusiasm factor was higher than we thought it was. It was an anti-Trump vote, motivated by the shutdown, motivated by people who were panicking over losing SNAP benefits and losing other things, the Gateway Tunnel Project, that sort of thing. But also because all these people had moved in during COVID from the city, and they moved into these areas, And with them came Democrat votes, and they may not be registered as Democrats. They may not have even registered as a party. They may remain unaffiliated voters. You look at the numbers coming out and you say, all right, well, I don't get it. I mean, why are they still voting Democrat? They left the cities. And we see this in Pennsylvania, too. You know, I was having a conversation with a buddy of mine who lives in Bucks County, and he said the same thing. He said, so many people moved to Bucks County during COVID from New York, and they want to escape the city, and they want more land, and they want more, you think, freedom, and they bring their voting policies and their voting habits with them. So the Democrats will not rest until they can take every rural area, every suburban area, and add high-density housing to it so they can change the makeup of that area. And with the makeup changing, changes the votes, and then changes who gets elected, and then you have more Democrat control. And that's what this has always been. It's always been about that. It's never been about affordable housing, because every time you try, whether it's rent control or you try to put price controls on housing or you try to build more housing, it has consequences in the marketplace. Even if you restrict it, you say 20% of the units have to be affordable. Well, that has an impact on the other 80%. And a lot of the 80% people don't want to live. It's not that they don't want to live next to people who are in affordable housing. They don't want to live in high density housing. So you wind up having a situation where those units then, the numbers on those units wind up falling too. And then more people wind up leaving because they don't want to stay in that area. And then the prices fall and it becomes a cascading effect. But it's all deliberate and not something that enough people talk about and not something that enough people saw coming in this last election. And we talked about affordable housing on this show. We talked about, and when I say affordable, of course, I keep using the air quotes, because it's not that it's affordable housing. It's high density is what it is. And then with that, you have to then add more services. You need bigger schools. Sometimes you need to build new schools. Got to hire more cops, more firefighters. Got to build more roads sometimes. Put in more traffic lights. Traffic increases. And all these factors go into it. And slowly a town that you once loved changes. You remember that story in Central Jersey, that mythical place, that family farm, and they wanted to go in there and they wanted to condemn it so that they could build their affordable housing units. It took the Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins, stepping in to fight to save this. And when it happened, the governor acted like Murphy, his royal rugness. He acted like he had something to do with it. He didn't. He didn't try to do anything to save this family farm. There's a lot of that happening, and more is going to happen, because these towns turn around and go, well, we're being forced to build. We don't have anywhere to build. So we have this undeveloped area over here. We didn't want to develop it. We didn't want to build it. We turned down businesses. We turned down warehouses because we didn't want more trucks. We didn't want more cars on the road. But now we got to do it. And I drove by one of these spots yesterday in a town near me. And I just thought, man, and they're already putting in new stoplights for that, because it's going to have to, all these people are going to have to get in and out of what is already a very busy road. So you got to add more traffic access. Then you got to add more access lanes for emergency service vehicles too. So this is happening and coming to a town near you. And even if you think, well, yeah, but there's nowhere they could build in my town. Oh, they'll find a way. They'll add units in mall areas too. They're doing that. And if you're driven by the Morristown Mall in New Jersey, you see that they're building big housing units at the mall. This is a new thing that they're doing now. In some places, they're converting malls. Got a lot of unused retail space. They're converting those into housing too. And it sounds great. Go, oh, great, more housing. Wonderful. Not wonderful. Because you're not letting the marketplace dictate it. In fact, these governments have put so many factors in place over the years to stop single-family homes from being built. In many ways, they couldn't build those single-family homes because of the environmental restrictions on them. Because of the wetlands area, the concealed cover, storm drainage runoff, whatever it is. We're going to restrict this area because this is an environmental habitat, blah, 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 blah. And then all that goes away. So you wish, in hindsight, you had built those single-family homes, because at least with single-family homes, you know exactly how many people you're getting. With high-density homes, you don't. I mean, you can make a guess, But, and then a lot of towns tried doing 55 and over homes because they wanted to lessen the impact on the schools, because typically people who are 55 and over don't have kids. And then the courts ruled you can't do that. And the state stepped in and said, you can't do that. You can't count that as your affordable housing allocation. So you got to build high density housing for families with kids so that those kids can go and live there. And then the towns turn around and go, all right, well, now we got to have a referendum and we got to add another building onto the school, or we got to build a new school. And the whole thing is a mess. But in this last election, as I looked at the data and looked at the maps afterward, and I realized this was a freight train coming down the tracks. Now, freight trains don't go fast enough. It was maybe that's a good analogy then, because it wasn't going very fast. It was slow, but gaining a lot of momentum and long, and you couldn't stop it. And all of a sudden it happens, and you turn around and people are trying to find all these reasons to explain it, and it was there all along. It was there all along. And the impact of COVID, too, with people moving out of places like New York City, for example, out of Philadelphia. And then people that came in, they may not have registered a party, but wound up voting Democrat. And you were hoping they would have, as unaffiliated voters, they would have gone and voted for a Republican, maybe rejecting the policies. This is something I still don't get. Florida has this problem all the time. They talk about it every time they talk about people fleeing New York because of Mamdani. And when I played the video the other day of Dave McCormick, when he was saying, come to Pennsylvania, you know, a few people sent me notes and they said, we don't want him here. We don't want him here because they bring their politics with them. They don't leave blue New York because of Mamdani and then say, I'm voting Republican, I'm registering Republican, I've learned the error of my ways. They want the same gun control policies. They want the same this policy and that policy. And next thing you know, this town that you loved, this county that you loved, is completely different. And you go, I don't get it. This was once a Republican stronghold. What happened? Well, what happened is this was all happening right under your nose and you weren't paying attention to it. And I don't blame you. I get it. And many times these housing units get built so quickly, you don't even realize it by the time they're all built. You don't even realize it until you drive past it and go, whoa, how did that happen so fast? Because they don't even have to go through the planning board. This new lawsuit where these towns are suing is they're arguing that very point, is that to build these units, they can bypass the planning board. And then the local planning board, which tries to control development and where development can happen, they have no say in the matter. So if you're in Pennsylvania and you're in New Jersey, and I don't know, maybe Delaware has the same issue. I don't know. I know Delaware's got a lot going on down there. A lot of people who are retired want to move down there. And I get it. No sales tax. I totally get it. But there's a lot of construction going on there, too, especially if you drive down towards the beaches, you see it. But it happens, and you turn around and you say, where was the planning board? Why didn't they stop this? They couldn't. They couldn't because the state came in and said, you've lost all your local control. Same thing they did with the windmills, the wind turbines. Same exact thing. You would have planning boards, local towns, counties along the Jersey Shore, try to step in and stop these things from happening. And the state came in and said, tough, you're doing it anyway. You have lost all of your power. And for people that grew up in Jersey, you know, there was a concept called home rule years ago, which is that the home rule, the town made the decision. The state didn't get to mandate these things. And they had all kinds of various things over the years. You know, state mandates, state pay. So if the state mandates something, has to pay for it, please. The minute that they want something, whether it's housing, wind turbines, whatever it is, and then if they got to dredge up beaches to run those long cables to convert the power from low power to high power and then tear up the beach and tear up the town and build substations, and they don't care and they'll do it and they don't have a problem doing it. And for years, you used to hear this expression, not in my backyard. Well, they got around that by taking away the ability of the people who have backyards to vote for people who would stop that from happening in their town. So it's all just dictated on high from Trenton, or from Harrisburg, or from wherever else. And this is what Democrat policies do, because they love central planning. And so they'll take rural areas, and they don't have the infrastructure, but then you got to build the infrastructure. You know, Jack talked about this in the campaign. He said, well, I'm all for affordable housing, but it should be done in urban areas. You take warehouses, you convert them there. You take shopping areas that are defunct. You convert them. But that's not what the Democrats' plan was because they looked at the map and they looked at these counties that were red and they said, where in these counties that are red can we build high density housing? And I said, well, you can take these farms, you could take this area over here that they designated to be open space. And they say, okay, well, this was a designated open space. Isn't that a good thing? Open space, trees, trails, whatnot. No, it's not a good thing if they want something built. Then it doesn't matter. It doesn't exist. It's gone. You just have to pretend like it never happened. Your open space is a little fantasy. Preserve farmland, same thing. You'd have farmers that had farms for generations. And they turned around and they put that farm into the state farmland preservation program. The idea that it would not be touched by development. You wouldn't have housing. You wouldn't have shopping malls. You wouldn't have warehouses. It's like you take that one family farm in Jersey and they had all these offers from Amazon, Wayfair, these other companies. Let us build this. Let's buy your land. We want to build a warehouse or distribution factory. We'll give you millions of dollars for it. And they said, no, we don't want to do that. This was a farm. We can't farm it anymore. It's not profitable enough. But we don't want to see another big warehouse built here. So a lot of the towns and the state came up with a way where they could buy these farms. You know, give the people there some money for it and then preserve that farmland. And you'd drive by and you'd see those signs. Preserve farmland, preserved open space. Well, those signs are getting torn down now. Because when the state turned around and said, we have to do more to build the high density housing, where do you think they're going to look? And these towns are smart at the time to do that, to designate these areas and to say, we're going to keep these areas as open space and farmland. That was smart of them. Because they thought that they could push back on this. And then when it came time, they could say, well, we don't have anywhere for you to build. You know, we don't have any dilapidated warehouses. We don't have any dilapidated factories. So we can't convert them into housing. We only have open space and farmland. And they were smart to do that. And for a while it worked. And then it didn't work anymore. Because Murphy and his goons said, well, too bad. So we're coming in now and we're forcing your hand on this. And so the towns that are suing and pushing back on this, it's smart of them to do so. Unfortunately, though, they're probably not going to get anywhere. Because the one thing that the windmill battle taught me, the wind turbine battle, is that when the state decides what it wants to do or the feds decide what they want to do, then whatever local control was there goes out the window immediately. So you'd have mayors and council people, you'd have local state officials, county commissioners, all signing letters and saying no and voting no, and pfft, didn't matter. They even had the county clerk of Cape May County, who refused to sign the deed to the land for Orsted because it would have had to involve condemnation of property, and because that's the other thing the state would do is they'd come in, they would just condemn private property, and they'd say, well, we got to build housing, we got to build windmills, whatever it is. So they would take away private property rights, too. They would use eminent domain, take that stuff away. And you turn around, you go, well, I don't understand. What happened to private property rights? Well, because in all centralized planning socialist utopias, you can't have private property rights. It has to belong to the collective. Which means that if you've got a farm, and even if that farm was in your family for generations, maybe since the founding of the state, the founding of the country, doesn't matter. You don't get to say private property rights if the state has some beautiful idea of what it wants to do with that area, whether it's for environmental reasons. You know, if you did want to build on it, for example, like if you did want to put a house up, there was a time where you couldn't because years ago they'd say, well, that's we it's too close to the wetlands. There's runoff. You don't have enough cover, whatever it is. And so we're not going to let you. Then years later, so you turned around and said, all right, well, if I can't build anything here, well, then I'll just I'll turn it into open space. I'll turn it into farmland preservation. Now, suddenly, they're forcing construction on that same exact land. It's crazy. And the electoral consequences of this, it can't be overstated or understated. But we didn't see it. People didn't notice. They weren't paying attention to it. And I guarantee you it's only going to get worse in the next several years. Because you're talking about tens of thousands of these units that still have to be built. They've already built thousands, tens of thousands already. Tens of thousands more to go. And it's going to happen in North Jersey, South Jersey, happening everywhere. And now that you got a Democrat governor coming in, it's not like she's going to stop this. A, she wants to see the Democrat take over the suburbs. The Democrat take over the rural areas. And I also love it, too, because it typically means more schools. So that's a gift to the NJEA. It's a gift to the teachers union. Well, you get new schools, which means we got to hire new teachers. So more teachers, more schools, more congestion. And they don't care about that, you know, the congestion, which I thought at some point or another I read that maybe if you were in traffic a lot, that'd be more exhaust. But then they just force you to buy an electric car. So that solves that problem. So they don't really care, you know, no big deal. You just have to sit behind traffic, just you and all the other Teslas. I know. So good for these towns for pushing back on this. I don't know where it'll go, but I read that story today and I thought, well, hey, at least they're fighting. At least they're fighting. But good luck, because you don't have the ability to push back on this anymore. Now, what the Trump administration can do is the same thing they did last time when it concerned the farmland, is they can have the Department of Agriculture hopefully work to fight to preserve some of these family farms. Because a lot of these farms, they just can't make it anymore. Just not profitable enough for them. So that it's tempting to either sell out to a developer or to a warehouse or something else like that. But if the Department of Agriculture can step in, and if nothing else, just fight for their private property rights so that they can decide, that'll be a big deal for them. And incidentally enough, the towns that are suing are all in Morris County, New Jersey. So, you know, you look at the election results and you look at the map of Morris County and you say, I don't get it. This once red county is now blue. Granted, it's light blue, but it's still blue. And the towns that are suing are in that county. Because it was as if Election Day smacked them across the face and they said, whoa, hey, what happened here? What happened to this once red stronghold, this once Republican stronghold? And the other factor is, too, is that a lot of Republican voters moved out of state. Now, during COVID and some other places at times, a lot of them said enough is enough. Now, will more move out? I don't know. Maybe if they don't have kids, a lot of people, it's tough. We talked about it the other day. We were in Skipback. You know, it's beautiful up there. It's Monco. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. A lot of open spaces and everything like that. But my kids are getting older. You move them. They got to start fresh. They got to make new friends. It's not always the easiest thing to do in the world. And of course, I'm also very embedded with Jersey in a lot of different ways. Unfortunately, it's like the mafia. You know, every time you try to leave, they pull you back in. But then again, I'm not so sure that Pennsylvania is the safe bet that it used to be, because Pennsylvania, they're banking on the fact that Democrats did so well on Election Day and that this is a precursor to how well they're going to do in the future. That Trump was the anomaly, not the way things are going to go. I don't know. I mean, Fetterman is so hated. It's poor guy, man. He was going on about how on Blue Sky, that's the lefty Twitter, Blue Sky, that's where he gets the most death threats and people who hate him the most. So, I mean, maybe he'll survive a primary challenge, but probably not. Most likely what will happen is he'll face a primary challenge from multiple people who will be to the left of him, because that's where the Democrat Party is right now. And then who knows? You know, and Shapiro is probably going to be okay from facing a primary challenge because he's powerful, but he's banking on the fact that he's going to just walk right into re-election. Stacey Garrity's certainly going to fight that and do her best to make sure that that's not going to happen. But will 2028 be a red Pennsylvania again with all the efforts of Scott Pressler and all the other people? I don't know. It's funny. There's the League of Municipalities convention happening in New Jersey right now in Atlantic City. And a few of my friends who were down there were texting me and saying, you know, this person's going to run for governor and this person wants to run. And this guy's talking about running for U.S. Senate. And all I kept thinking is, in 4 years from now, when it's time to run for governor again, how much more blue is the state going to be because of all the high density housing? And you think about it from now, 2020 was here, 2024 is here, but by 2028, because it's easy to turn around and go, wait a second. 400,000 more Democrat votes for Mikey Sherrill versus Phil Murphy. It had to be fraud. It had to be cheating. It had to be corruption. Or it had to just be a whole lot of people that moved into the state because of the high density housing. And a lot of people that left the state because of the COVID policies and the high taxes and everything else. And then the makeup changes. So what's it going to be like in 4 years? Unless these towns can fight and win. Hopefully they can. I would just encourage every mayor, every Republican councilman, person, just do your best to try to stall this as much as you possibly can. You know, if your town's got your high density housing requirement, do your best to push back. It's all you can do is just try to fight it, because if you don't, then they'll just roll right over you. No doubt about it. So we'll keep an eye on that lawsuit, and good for these towns for fighting it. I'm glad they did, before it's too late anyway. And I know some towns in South Jersey are trying to fight it as well. Good for them. All right, coming up, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia is in the Oval Office today, chatting with the president. I think he's got a little feisty. We'll talk about that. And food allergies. Are you affected by this? Is this something that your kids deal with? Secretary of Health and Human Services Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was talking about this yesterday and saying, you know, when we were growing up, we didn't have food allergies. We didn't. I don't know. I didn't know a single kid who had a peanut allergy when I was a kid. Now, there's so many things my kids cannot bring to school. Like even eggs. My Reagan can't bring eggs to school because some kid in the class has an allergy to eggs. Where are all these allergies coming from, and what can they do about it? It's a conversation we'll have today on the show, and I'd love for you to weigh in if you're affected by this. 855-839-1210. You can weigh in on the YouTube chat as well, or you can tweet at Rich Zeoli. So big show for today. That's the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria. Year-end benefits, don't let them expire. They're on the table. They could give you the smile of your dreams. Reach out to Dr. Mike's office today and find out if you qualify. Maybe you could use them towards an implant. 856-786-2020, VeneriaDental.com. Coming right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All righty. It's a busy Tuesday today. 855-839-1210 is the number if you want to weigh in. And I'd love to hear from you as we talk about all things that are in the news and what's going on in your area, and food allergies, too. If you're affected by them, if anybody in your family is affected by them, I want to hear from you, because you know what? It's one of those things where as you try to figure out what's causing all this stuff, you realize our food supply is pretty crappy, and then you can't really get an answer behind it, you know. And I'm just glad they're finally looking into this. I really am. I'm glad that after all this time, we have a HHS secretary and also Dr. Marty Makary, and we got people at the FDA. We have people who are finally, Dr. Oz, we've got people who are finally asking the questions around this, because for too long, they've just acted like it was not a thing, not a problem, and they just didn't want to talk about it. And now they're finally talking about it, which is good. So maybe we'll get some answers. How processed our food is, how it is that when we grew up, these things were not things. And I don't think it's a situation where people just didn't realize it or didn't know it. I think something's changed. I think something has absolutely changed. And we got to get some answers on that. No doubt about that. So, but let's begin with the Crown Prince today in the Oval Office. And they're making a $1 trillion investment in the United States. $1 trillion. So this is cut number one, as the president met with Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman in the Oval Office today. Cut one.
You know, when you invest $1 trillion, that's national security for us, too, because it creates jobs. It creates a lot of things. And I would say, Scott, right, when you hear one country is putting $1 trillion into the United States, that creates national security. And, you know, I think that they don't have to say that, but I think a big part of that is also the fact that tariffs are in play. But even beyond tariffs, that's a real ally that will do that, creates a lot of power for the United States.
So that's a big number. That's a big number. No doubt about that. That's not like small change. You know what I mean? So, good. But then things got testy because Mary Bruce from ABC News asked about the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi, and it did not go well. Did not go well at all. It was an ugly, awkward exchange in the Oval Office. Even with the president threatening to go after ABC News' license again and bring it up, Brandon Carr, the FCC chairman. But now, there are legitimate questions that a lot of 9/11 families have. There was also a comment, Matt, if you can grab this for me, please. It is when the Crown Prince was asked a question about Saudi Arabia, and he did comment and say they had nothing to do with it. He talked about why the Saudis were involved. He said that they recruited Saudis on 9/11 to try to divide America and Saudi Arabia, to try to hurt the relationship. But that's what he said in the Oval Office today, denying any involvement. Now, obviously, you've got a lot of 9/11 families out there. We've had them on the show before. They don't believe that. They don't believe that that's real. They believe Saudi Arabia was fully behind it. I think one thing is clear, though, is that we will probably never really answer that. As long as we live, we'll never know the answer to that. There's too much money. There's too much power. The stability in the Middle East, all of these things factoring in. I applaud them for trying. I do. But will they ever actually get the answers to all that? I don't know. Probably not. But the Crown Prince was pretty adamant. He said, you know, they used Saudis to try to hurt our relationship with the United States. That's why they did it. And he said we had nothing to do with it. But here's the exchange with Mary Bruce today in the Oval Office, cut number two.
Mr. President, why wait for Congress to release the Epstein files? Why not just do it now?
You know, it's not the question that I mind. It's your attitude. I think you are a terrible reporter. It's the way you ask these questions. You start off with a man who's highly respected, asking him a horrible, insubordinate, and just a terrible question. And you could even ask that same exact question nicely. You're all psyched. Somebody psychs you over at ABC. They're going to psych it. You're a terrible person and a terrible reporter. As far as the Epstein files is, I have nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein. I threw him out of my club many years ago because I thought he was a sick pervert. But I guess I turned out to be right. But you know who does have? Bill Clinton, Larry Summers, who ran Harvard, was with him every single night, every single weekend. They lived together. They went to his island many times. I never did. Andrew Weissman, I hear. All these guys were friends of his. You don't even talk about those people. You just keep going on the Epstein files. And what the Epstein is a Democrat hoax to try and get me not to be able to talk about the $21 trillion that I talked about today. It's a hoax. Now, I just got a little report, and I put it in my pocket, of all the money that he's given to Democrats. He gave me none, zero, no money to me. But he gave money to Democrats. And people are wise to your hoax, and ABC's your company, your crappy company, is one of the perpetrators. And I'll tell you something.
So why not just sign it?
I think the license should be taken away from ABC because your news is so fake and it's so wrong. And we have a great commissioner, the chairman, who should look at that, because I think when you come in and when you're 97% negative to Trump, and then Trump wins the election in a landslide, that means obviously your news is not credible, and you're not credible as a reporter. So I've answered your question. You should go and look at the Democrats who received money from Epstein, who spent their time. Larry Summers was with him all the time. That creep of the fund guy was with him all the time. What's his name?
Reid Hoffman.
I don't know Reid Hoffman. But I know he spends a lot of money on the radical left. Reid Hoffman, in my opinion, should be under investigation. He's a sleazebag. And those are the people, but they don't get any press, they don't get any news, and you're not after the radical left because you're a radical left network. But I think the way you ask a question with the anger and the meanness is terrible. You ought to go back and learn how to be a reporter. No more questions from you. Who else has a question?
No more questions from you. Now, I don't like him threatening with Brandon Carr. I don't like Brandon Carr. I don't like him as FCC chairman. But luckily, Brandon Carr doesn't have any power, which is nice. He just kind of spouts his mouth off. And that's just Trump, you know. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. But as far as the 9/11 stuff, and or I should say, as far as the Epstein stuff goes, the files, have they voted on them. So they're going to be released. And Speaker Mike Johnson commented on that earlier today. And Speaker Mike Johnson commented on that and said, you know, the thing we got to think about is, and this is actually something that Johnny Cook mentioned on his on X yesterday, you got to think about the victims. And you got to think about people who whose names might come up in all this, but who did nothing wrong, and how these are people that may be brought out here and have their lives ruined and have their lives destroyed. And then you got to think about, too, things like child pornography coming out, other things coming out as well. You got to think about all that, and you got to question it, and you got to ask yourself whether or not this is really something we can do. So here's what Speaker Johnson said. This is today he came out. He had a little press conference, as he does, like right around 10 o'clock or so. In Cut 16, the Biden DOJ had these files for 4 years. Take a listen.
And transparency, or ensuring justice, or protecting victims of this unspeakable tragedy, the Epstein evils. And how do we know that? Because the Democrats had every one of the Epstein files in their possession for the 4 long years of the Biden administration. The Biden Department of Justice had the files the entire time. And not a single one of the people who are so loud and animated right now, they never said anything about it for all those 4 years. None of them held press conferences. None of them demanded the release of the documents. And under Biden's DOJ, when they prosecuted just Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, not a single one of these Democrats or any of the proponents of the discharge ever made any noise about that at all. So it's fair for the American people to ask the question, why now? Why suddenly are they so interested? They have such an urgent interest in the Jeffrey Epstein matter. The truth is simple and straightforward and obvious for anyone who is willing to look at it objectively. Clearly, this is a political exercise for Democrats and a few others, sadly. And it is as deceitful and dishonest as their pointless stunt to shut down the government. Same ideology behind this. Democrats are trying to use the Epstein matter as a political weapon to distract from their own party's failures. And in a desperate attempt, they're trying to somehow tie President Trump to the scandal. President Trump has nothing to do with it. He has said himself he has nothing to hide. And that's clearly what they've been trying to do. They're trying to attack President Trump. This is what they've done. They weaponized the justice system over the last several years to go after him, and this is their latest attempt. And they don't have a platform or a principle to defend on the Democrat Party side, so they put all their eggs in this basket. And that's why you hear endlessly about Epstein, Epstein, Epstein. Everything's about Epstein. Now, this was an unspeakable tragedy, we said that. And we have great compassion for the victims. And I'm heartened that I met with the victims, our House Oversight Committee members met with the victims, and they deserve justice. It has been too long delayed. Not just justice for what they were made to endure, but also we need answers on why it took so long for the Department of Justice itself to do that job.
Yeah, and that's another key part of this, too, why it took so long for the Department of Justice to do its job. So we're gonna have to figure that out. Now, again, these files have voted. They voted to release them. I don't know how long it's going to take if we're ever going to see these things. I have no idea. I'm not particularly optimistic with all that, but it's still got to go to the Senate side. There's a lot of senators who have concerns about this on their side. We'll get into that, too, as the show goes on. But Larry is in Hatboro. He wanted to weigh in on the food allergy question. Hey, Larry, thanks for the call today. How are you?
Yes. I've got a daughter that has type 1 diabetes, and I was listening to a program earlier with Dawn, and you know, she said a couple things I thought was a little false, and you know, she said, "Oh, you can eat Italian flour, or go to the Amish place, and people don't that have celiacs don't get affected by it." And I'm like, she's got a son with type 1 diabetes.
I didn't listen to Dawn's show, so I don't want to talk about what Dawn said. But if you want to talk about your thoughts on it, go ahead.
But
it wouldn't be fair. I can't refute because I didn't hear it. So go ahead.
Doctors don't want to tell you. Like my daughter's doctor, when she was diagnosed down at Children's Hospital, said right off the bat, she has type 1 diabetes. You know, they should have found it in the last five doctor's appointments since she was dwindling to nothing. And it only took 30 seconds for them to pinprick her and say, yeah, her blood sugar's 700. She's ready to go into a coma. And she could also have celiacs because that's a side effect of it. So there's a lot of, but doctors don't want to tell you, you know, a seventh grader that she has type 1 diabetes and then celiac. She can't have spaghetti. She can't have everything that she likes. So I think it is a lot about the doctors not telling you this stuff. They don't relate one with the other. They don't say, it goes hand in hand with type 1 and celiacs. It's like two autoimmune diseases. And I do think it's the doctors that just don't want to tell you bad news. And there is probably just as many childhood, like, people getting affected, but it's their parents that, you know, they don't want their little Johnny going to school, you know, and having kids eating brownies if they're allergic to chocolate or peanut and all that. We're back.
Well,
then,
I think a lot of, like, schools just outright ban certain things nowadays because of that very issue.
Yeah, because they're afraid of getting sued. They're afraid of getting sued and stuff like that because everybody wants to sue somebody. I see it both ends. I had a brother who died from an allergy test, to see what he was allergic to.
He died from the test?
And his daughter would die.
God.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that.
My mother couldn't get
it's
him.
Terrible.
My mother, it was a long time ago. He'd be 75 years old, but couldn't get him back to the hospital fast enough after the test results, and they sent him home, and, you know, the car only went so fast to get him back. But I think it is the doctors. I think the doctors need to, because if the kid does have, if they test them and they do have an allergy, that kid's got to be on his own and say, you know, just like a kid when he gets diagnosed with type 1. They got to take care of themselves. They got to watch themselves and
all
that.
Well, they do. No doubt about it. They absolutely do. Larry, thanks for the call. I appreciate it very much. 855-839-1210. If you're affected by food allergies, let me know. I'll play for you what Robert Kennedy said and what HHS is going to do now to try to look into this, what's causing all this, and how really the prevalence of food allergies has absolutely exploded over the years in our area. No doubt about that. Lenny's in Pittman. Lenny, what's up?
Real quick, if I could, Rich, I'd like to do this Epstein thing. Can somebody just please tell me why all these victims, all these girls, don't go to Gloria Allwright? You know, the woman I will represent any woman that's been looked at wrong, and sign a lawsuit and say, let's just use a name. Bill Clinton did this to me. Why hasn't one, just one, gotten a lawyer and sued somebody? What is the problem?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
I mean, would you agree? I mean, is there a reason behind it? I mean, I just don't get it.
I don't know if they're making allegations that Bill Clinton did anything to them.
No, I'm just using it as a name.
Theoretically, Sue is dead, you know, Epstein.
Right, I get that. But he does have an estate.
Yeah, I don't know what legal protections. I don't have an answer to it. I don't know. I mean, it's a good question, you know, and maybe they will. You know, maybe now that all this stuff is coming out, maybe they will.
Well, they've had years to do it. Why do they keep coming up, showing their pictures, crying on TV? You know, men are accused all the time of this. And, and I'm just wondering, you know, what is it that they just, if they have concrete stuff, they've been there, then come forward and say who it was.
Thanks for the call. We'll see if they do. I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting point. I don't know if they if that's something that's in the works. Sometimes these lawsuits take years and years. I don't know. Maybe they were. I know some were dismissed. I know that. But, you know, maybe they'll sue now. Who knows? But we'll take a quick break, though, and we'll come right back. We got a big show for you today. I do want to get your thoughts on this. We're going to play more from Kennedy and some of the other people. Let me tell you about Bob's Little Sports Shop. Bob's Little Sports Shop has a great Black Friday sale coming up. You save 5% off firearms. That's right. This coming Black Friday, it's going to be great. All you got to do is go to Bob's Little Sports Shop and take a look at their incredible selection. Now, they do have a couple of exceptions, but they'll go through that with you when you get there. But it's great. I mean, you save some money, and their selection of firearms is the absolute best. And then Bob's also has a wonderful idea for the holidays, which is you can have an event at Bob's. Just break the mold. You know, something different than the same old that everybody does every year. You can have a great event at Bob's with up to 30 people and have NRA-trained instructors who are there to help you, and no firearms experience is necessary. You could, newcomers, welcome. In fact, Bob's loves that because they get to teach you how to use a firearm and help you find the perfect firearm, and you become a responsible gun owner. It's great. No alcohol or drugs permitted on premises, and they are filling up fast for this holiday season. So what you want to do is you want to reach out to them today by going to bobslittlesportshop.com and make your party reservation for Bob's. What a great event. You'll love it. Everybody will always remember it and talk about it. So check out their website for their Black Friday specials. Think about going to have an event there, and also ask about Bob's Bucks. For every $100 you spend, you get $5 in Bob's Bucks that you can use on other purchases as well. Bob's Little Sports Shop is on Delsey Drive in Glassboro. They're my go-to store for all things Second Amendment. You will love the customer service, the people, and the incredible selection of firearms. BobsLittleSportsShop.com. This ad sponsored by Bob's Little Sports Shop.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All righty. So, went a little long there. That's okay. We'll do a quick segment here. We'll turn it around and we'll come right back. But I want to get your thoughts and your calls. Food allergies. I'll tell you what the secretary said, what they want to do. Are you affected by this? Your kids, your grandkids, you, yourself, food allergies? And do you remember this being a problem when we were kids? I don't. Now it seems like something that affects a whole bunch of kids. And schools are very restrictive on the kind of snacks kids can bring in. And, parties and, you know, you got to find allergy-free things. And even somebody the other day came to my son's birthday party and had to make sure that there was no soy in anything, which was not something that I was used to. I mean, peanut allergy I'd heard of, but it seems like there's more and more of this nowadays. Are we just better at finding it, or has something changed? That's what they want to figure out, and that's what they're trying to get answers to. So we'll talk about that. The latest on the Epstein files, the House has voted to release them, and the Crown Prince confronted over 9/11. He says they were not involved, and he denies that his country was involved in any way, shape, or form. The question, of course, is, do you believe him? Do you think Saudi Arabia is innocent here, or do you think Saudi Arabia is complicit in 9/11? So we'll talk about that as well as we continue along with the show and our 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. 855-839-1210. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.